This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Good evening. I'm Jeff Copper, Attention Coach and the host of Attention Talk Radio. We have a great show for you tonight. ADHD Summer Camp, more than just fun and games. And I do mean it's more than just fun and games. There's a lot of learning that kind of goes on, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this topic tonight with John Wilson, who's in our virtual studio tonight. Real quickly, tonight is May the 21st in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few announcements real quick. Everybody, the annual CHAD conference this year is in Chicago. It's in November. I think it's the first weekend. Go check out chadd.org, and if you've been a listener of this show a long time, we support CHAD. They do a lot of great things. The conference is a great place to go meet your tribe, and I'm actually looking forward to this year. I've got I think I'm doing a little bit of an interview there on spot. I'm gonna kind of hold the details on that till later this summer, but I'm really kind of excited. They reached out and asked me if I would interview a let's just say an individual right now. I'm very excited about it and thankful for them reaching out. Let's see, in July coming up, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is going to be right up the road from me in Orlando. That's going to be July, I think, the 24th. You can get more information on that by going to add.org. I know if you're going to show up, come check out my presentation and on the impact of ADHD on sports and exercise, which is basically I shamelessly pirated what I learned from interviewing the experts to pull that thing together. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun. Also, there's a new website that I'm just getting some information on, but Dr. Russell Barclay had shared this with me. It's called ADHDfund.com, and it's a grassroots effort to try to raise money for research around ADHD by trying to usually the funding sources come from other places, and there's always issues of conflict of interest. And they're doing – I really like the kind of concept. I'm going to learn more about it, and we'll be talking about it more in the time to come. But if you're listening to the show, go ahead to ADHDfund.com and check that out, and we'll be spending some more time on that. Let's see. Any other announcements? Can't think of it. So let's kind of get going. Again, tonight with us in our virtual studio is John Wilson. He received his undergraduate degree in sociology from Texas State University in 1990. After a year at the University of Colorado studying experiential education and outdoor leadership, he moved to Chicago and completed his master's of science in outdoor therapeutic recreation administration at the George Williams College of Aurora University in 1993. He spent 20 years working in youth programs with the emphasis on youth diagnosed with ADHD and LD. He joined SOAR, and SOAR stands for a Success-Oriented Achievement Realized, as a summer wilderness instructor in 1991, and has become their director of LD and ADHD services since 1994. He's very involved in the CHAD chapter in Western North Carolina. He holds certificates as a wilderness first responder, lifeguard instructor, CPR, and he lives with his wife, Dorothy, and are the proud parents of two magnificent, creative, and strong-willed children. With that, John, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on, as I was talking to you before the show started, I'm a little disappointed we haven't done this a little bit earlier. Because I really wanted to do this, and everybody, one of the things that I'm privileged as the host of this and interviewing experts is I get to ask a lot of questions of experts. And over the years, I've been fascinated with the notion that the researchers are looking at ADHD as an executive functioning issue. And oversimplifying, self-regulation is a big part of executive functioning, and self-regulation, over boiling down, is really self-directed attention, awareness of yourself, attending to self, restraining yourself, seeing yourself, talking to yourself, feeling yourself, and one of them is playing yourself. And some of the experts have talked about how when we're children, we play externally, and I never really realized this before, but you know, when you're in the sandbox or dealing with Legos or, in my day, Tinker Toys and Erector Sets or, I guess, Barbies, there's a lot of organization that takes place, sequencing and putting things together and experimenting around with it. And I've come to learn that play is so important for children. As we grow older, though, that play becomes privatized. It kind of moves into our head. And those with ADHD, they're very smart, but it's the execution of the knowledge. In other words, the manipulation in their frontal lobes that they struggle with. And what I really like about having John on is this experiential learning and going out into nature and doing things that appear to be fun, but what I've come to learn, there's an enormous amount of learning going on, and what's more important, there's an enormous amount of life skills that's being learned as these youth do these activities, which I'm not so sure is very apparent. So, John, can you tell us a little bit about what experiential learning is to begin with and kind of what some of the goals are?
Absolutely. So, you know, as in this day and age, it's even more critical as you find kids spending more and more time interacting with others via social media and the computer and computer games, and there's even less opportunity for a good old-fashioned, genuine play that creates opportunities for interaction, opportunities for organizing, you know, thoughts, organizing the way that you're going to go about accomplishing the different tasks that you as a group have determined that you want to achieve, and even problem-solving in that capacity. And so experiential education is the focus at which you learn best through kinesthetic, tactile learning. You know, I can tell you what a snowball is. I can explain how it's formed. But until you actually get it into your hands and you feel it and you get a chance to throw one and you get a chance to be hit by one, you're never going to understand the true magnificence of a snowball. And so, you know, that learning through experience is such a critical and vital component of the learning process. You know, even John Dewey, the father of our educational system, you know, spoke to the importance of that learning by doing. And when you take that out and you just have kids sit in a classroom where they, you know, they learn facts and figures and memorization techniques, but they don't have a chance to kind of get involved and really kind of pull apart the different aspects of learning, something is just lost there. And when we see kids with ADHD, most of these kids are hands-on learners. And so, you know, by definition, experiential education is absolutely one of the key essential ways that these kids intake information and learn how to interact with their world.
I love what you said, the hands-on learners. Is, again, it goes back to that notion you got to get it out of your head and get your hands around it so you can manipulate, you can play with it, and you kind of got to get what's kind of going on. And when you're out in the wilderness, whether it's a canoe trip or you're backpacking or, I'm sure, rock climbing and other things that are kind of going on, you actually kind of have to deal with it or even scuba diving and stuff. And there's a certain amount of organizing, I think, that takes place. And just to digress for a second, I was coaching somebody recently, actually a woman, and we were talking about her son who was seemingly kind of disorganized. And it was very interesting to me because we stumbled upon the fact that the kid likes to go scuba diving, and that can be life or death if you don't bring the right gear. And this kid was impeccably organized, never missed anything all the time, which is actually kind of fascinating because we began to look at it and say there's some clues here. He's able to organize that. If we can understand what happens, we can pull to some other areas. And forgive me for digressing a little bit, but there's so much that you can learn in this process. So can you describe some of the adventures or experiences that you put those with ADD or LD into to give everybody an idea of what some of this will look like?
Well, first of all, I want to share that SOAR was designed and developed around serving kids diagnosed with both ADHD and also learning disabilities. And so we created the program with that child in mind. And so we sort of began by what are the ways that, you know, and the kinds of activities that these kids tend to be drawn to. So adventure was the mechanism which we chose to pursue trying to create tangible life lessons for kids. And that arena has just given us wonderful opportunities. We take his rock climbing, rafting, backpacking, horseback riding, canoeing, whitewater rafting, and in Florida they go scuba diving, snorkeling. They even get to go tubing behind a sea-doo or a boat. They learn fishing techniques, and not just catching small little mangrove snapper, but you know they're fishing for tarpon, they're fishing for game fish. Out in California, the kids have a chance to learn how to surf, you know, go horseback riding, rock climbing again. These wonderful horsepacking expeditions, and then we have programs in, we switch, we alternate in summers, but we do international programs in Costa Rica or Belize, and adventure is the key element that creates this dynamic opportunity for our kids to learn and grow, and then take those lessons that they've learned with us and find a way to transfer those to their home and school life.
So, John, can I just throw some ideas and thought out there and get your perspective on it?
Absolutely.
So, many of those with ADHD are not necessarily, they're not really self-aware, or they're not really aware of other people, because social issues can be like can be an obstacle sometimes. And it seems to me that if you're going to go fishing, number one, you got to go where there's fish. I mean, that's kind of a given. But the second thing, if you're going to catch a fish, and encourage a kid to think like a fish. In other words, to begin to stand in the perspective of a fish, at least experiment with a little bit to maybe see it from the eyes of a fish, which to me, when you think about it, if they begin to do that, that can really translate into the playground, into social situations. Am I off base on that, or is there something to that?
No, I think that's a wonderful example. You know, at SOAR, you know, in Florida, the kids will first they have to learn how to use, you know, the right equipment. They have to learn what are the tools and the techniques necessary to catch fish. And let's use the metaphor of making friends. So mm-hmm. Catch fish, make friends. The next thing they have to do is they have to learn how to catch bait fish, you know, so they have something to fish with. And so what are the things that other kids like to do? What are the things that are going to be introducers for you? The next thing that we're going to teach kids is how do we create an environment that the fish, you know, even if there's fish out there, they're going to want to come to where your hook is. And we teach the kids how to chum the water, bait the water, so that the fish are interested. You know, again, once you've intrigued somebody in a social relationship, how do you keep them sort of wanting to continue to interact with you? What are the things that you might do that would lessen your chance of catching fish? And then that would translate to, you know, what are the behaviors that you may engage in that will push people away? And then finally, you know, what happens when the fishing tackle gets all snarled? And what happens when the social relationship, it starts to go south? Well, you know what? There are ways to repair that. There are ways to take your time, fix the line, figure out where the problem is, and then, you know, start the process again. And that translates perfectly to Rick LaVoy's idea of a social autopsy, which is, okay, where did it go wrong? What exactly could I have done differently to have that social relationship be a little more intact or still be fruitful? And then work your way down to the key elements and then fix the problem and then try it again. Because you can always go fishing the next day, you can always develop another social relationship, and you learn from your mistakes. With our kids, so often, you know, social interactions, it's a whole language. And just like helping kids that have a learning disability in reading, teaching them techniques and methods by which they can overcome their reading difficulties, you know, you can teach kids how to understand the language of social awareness, but it takes practice, it takes consistency, and it takes opportunities where they can experientially learn how to handle those things. And so what we just did there, that exercise in fishing and then social relationships, is a really good example of what we call the metaphoric transfer of learning. And that's why, you know, SOAR and programs that use that kind of system are really much more than just fun.
And I want to underscore that. There was so much brilliance in what you said, because a person would say, oh, they went fishing. But the way you described it, number one, how do you attract, how you keep them from going away, how you transfer that. And you know what's really cool about fishing is it's very forgiving. You can go back the next day and try again. Unlike the playground where you might experiment and get it wrong and take off some people, it's an opportunity for you to understand that socialization, and it's very transferable back into real life, which is what's so cool about this is most people would just judge it, oh, they're just having fun fishing. But what I really wanted to pull out of the show is how much learning can take place that these kids don't even know that's what's going on that's applicable. And I think if I understand, you described it to me in getting ready for this, you teach the skills, but you try to transfer them back into the home setting, which is kind of what we're talking about. Am I accurate here? Is this,
yeah, let me give you another example.
Okay.
You know, we take kids rock climbing here in North Carolina, and we're in the beautiful Smoky Mountains. There's lots of great rock climbing available, and so kids will get a chance to go rock climbing, and so they will participate in the activity. And after the activity, one of the things that makes us different is that we're going to sit down and we're going to process what just happened. Now, again, we know who our population is, so our discussions after an activity are not going to last half an hour. They're going to be short and to the point. But we're going to ask some questions like this. Okay, what allowed you to go up that climb? You know, could you have done that without the equipment? No. All right, what was the most important piece of equipment? Well, it was the rope. All right, now what in your home life acts like a rope? And one of the answers that we often get is that trust relationship between them and somebody else. Are there things that you can do that will damage that rope? Yes, you tell us not to step on the rope. Well, what are ways that you step on that trust relationship back at home? And then, you know, certainly calling somebody names or abusing that trust. All right, and then we talk about who their belayer at home might be. You know, who is on the other end of that rope that's keeping you safe? Who does that for you at home? What are some ways that you interact with that person, and how are they compared to the ways that you interacted with that person while you were trying to achieve this goal of climbing this rock? And so the activity is a great, great opportunity for self-exploration, for pushing and challenging yourself. But when it's all said and done, the real magic occurs when we've stopped, we've had a chance to talk about it, and we're reflecting that back to what can happen differently at home. And that is just – and that happens after every major activity that we do at SOAR, because we want to keep hitting those points. This is how this relates back to home. This is how this relates back to home. And in doing that, those skills become something that kids get to keep and take with them when they come home.
Absolutely. John, we need to run to a commercial break real quick. Before we do, for those that want to learn more about the program, website soarnc.org. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's NC for North Carolina. So soarnc.org.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got John Wilson in the house. We're talking about ADHD summer camp, more than just fun and games. Before the break, John was talking about experiential learning and giving some great examples of fishing and rock climbing about the learning experience and how it gets kind of translated back. And John, you okay if I tell my backpacking story?
I could, but before you do that, Jeff,
okay.
I wanted to share you have got great advertisers. I'm on the National Board of CHAD, and on behalf of CHAD, we appreciate the work that you're doing with us, and we're really excited to see you at the next conference. And just another plug, the Time Timer. I use it all the time. It was invented by a mom with a kid that has learning issues, and it's a great device. So you've got some great advertisers.
Wow, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it. That wasn't scripted. John, thank you very much, particularly on behalf of all those guys. The reason I really like this, John, is my older son and I went through Scouts, and I say I because I was in Scouts as a younger child, but I think I made it to Star and kind of dropped out due to sports. And when my older son kind of got into it, I went through and the backpacking bug bit, and I became the high adventure scoutmaster for a troop down here in Tampa. And, you know, over the course of my son's career, I think we backpacked about 500 miles. But one trip in particular, we were going up and we were backpacking from the Nantahala Outdoor Center, which is about 30 miles south of the Fontana Dam, which is where the Smoky Mountains begin. The Smokies are, I don't know, 70-some-odd miles. So it was a 105-mile backpacking trip, and we had set it up where my group was going to do the whole thing, and another group was going to shag a week behind us and come in the middle of the Smokies and kind of go down to beginning at Fontana Dam. So we knew in advance that we were going to have two drop points. And my guys had to pack six bags to go in four different locations for this particular trip. And the trick here is the smarter you were about packing, the less you had to carry. And, you know, the Smokies are arguably the most difficult section of the Appalachian Trail south of Maine. And it was interesting because they were all in my driveway one day, and I began to realize because we had it all laid out about the checkpoints, and we're talking about the vans and the sequencing of stuff. And what we're talking about is literally I'm with these guys trying to get them to conceptually understand what's going on because they had to be highly organized and sequenced. Then in addition to them, what I really learned about this is when we think about budgets, we think about finances and stuff, but if you were going to be really comfortable on the trip, the trick was not to carry too much gear. And if you did really good, you would pack just enough that you needed to get to the next checkpoint where you could replace, you know, I'm out of toilet paper, I can get some more, I can replace my food provisions. And in that moment, I began to realize how much these kids were learning about budgeting, determining what you need futuristically and kind of pull it back. And it's funny because to this day, everybody went on a trip or now in college and stuff, and I saw probably seven of the eight guys that we did it with in the last 3 weeks, and four of them came up to me and said, I can't tell you how much I learned from that trip that I'm using today, and they thought it was just for fun. And I'm sharing that because you were talking about some other things before, but I'm sharing that literally these guys learn budgeting, sequencing, and organization, and the auspices of an outdoor adventure, which was spectacular. So I just kind of want to plug that in. John, you and I talked about that a little bit. So anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have had counselors work at other camps and then come work at us, and often what they tell us is that the difference between SOAR and other camps is that at SOAR, it's like we have a reason for everything that we do. And we have these systems in place that help teach kids organizational skills and understanding sequencing of events and understanding why and how we do things and why those things work and how you can relate those things back to home and school. You know, it's just it's an extraordinary opportunity to give kids that chance to learn in a tangible way. And trust me, that lesson that they learned, you could have given them 14 hours of lecture and nothing would have been as practical or brought that point home than having a chance to live it and experience it the way that you taught them. And it's so interesting, and I understand why you're so interested in what we're doing at SOAR, because that is, you know, essentially the heart of the philosophy of what we're doing.
You caught me flat-footed. Really, just because caught me flat-footed on that, because you said that absolutely so well. What type of, at SOAR, what age ranges are you working with?
Well, we're working with kids. It's interesting. We work with kids 8 to 10. We work with kids 11 to 18, and we now are working with young men and women that have transitioned into adulthood and are 18 to 25. In fact, this fall, we're actually going to launch a gap year program for 18 to 25-year-olds in our Wyoming base camp. But, you know, everything that we do is sponsored, you know, essentially because either we thought it was a great idea or parents have asked for it. For instance, years ago we just worked with kids that were, you know, 11 to 15. And we had some parents say, hey, look, you preach early intervention, but then you don't work with kids until they turn 11. So we started a program for 8 to 10-year-olds, and we realized very, very quickly that we were going to need a different pack animal because that first summer it was the staff who were carrying all the stuff. And so now we hired a llama truck vendor, and llamas don't complain nearly as much as the staff did. And my kids are 8 to 10, and they have been doing the llama truck for the last couple of years, and they just absolutely love it. There's something, you know, so special about the relationship between kids and animals. We created programs in Florida and California and Wyoming and North Carolina because all of them offer real different types of adventures, and not every kid is built the same.
We have
a super low staff to student ratio, you know. So, you know, we're going to have groups of 6 to 8 kids with two instructors, with those students. It's just, you know, really we look at what would you want for your child with ADHD or learning disabilities, and try to build a program that'll support that want and that need.
John, I need to go to a break real quick, but when we come back, I want to touch base real quick. You said gap year, which is this new thing that I want to highlight. We did a show not that long ago on that, so just hold that space when we come back. Everybody, to learn more about SOAR, go to SOARNC, that's for NorthCarolina.org, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit EdgeFoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit TimeTimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great conversation with John Wilson. Before the break, you were talking about the age groups in the program, and you mentioned a gap year. Can you just real briefly explain to our listeners what a gap year is?
Sure. So there, it's an idea that caught on in Europe many years ago, and for the last 5-10 years here in the States, it's been growing. Some kids just aren't ready for college yet. They're not. They're and some of them are just not ready to move out yet. And you're seeing that by, you know, so many kids still living at home. So in particular, kids with learning disabilities and ADHD might need another couple years of maturation under their belt before they're ready to take on the independence and the skills necessary to be successful in whatever that next endeavor is going to be. So there are different kinds of programs. There's postgraduate programs, which sometimes have a college focus, and kids are tutored and coached through their first year of college. And then there's programs that are a gap year, which are a experience, you know, kind of opportunity to learn some of those independent living skills and teach some of those things. So it's sort of one step towards a level of independence that kids may not be ready for when they graduate from high school. And SOAR, you know, because we are so different than, you know, than anything else that's out there, we were asked by some families to think about, you know, continuing to work with kids. We have an academy. We actually have a school, a year-round school, the residential school that we work with kids. And so the logical next step out at our Wyoming base, we're going to host a program where kids are going to have, you know, two-week wonderful adventures going to exotic places and then have a residential living situation where they're being mentored and have an opportunity to take some coursework at a community college. And then just, you know, doing that over and over as they develop some of those independent living skills. And then, you know, just have some extra time to mature and get ready for that next step in their life.
Very well said, John. And I want our listeners out there, we did a show a couple months ago with Marie Paxson talking about what a gap year is and her experience with her son kind of going through a gap year. And I love from that show, as she said, you know, some kids get through, and number one, they have to get over the emotional trauma of high school and all the stuff that kind of goes with it and the struggles as a result of that. Plus, as I've been interviewing more and more experts, the notion is those with ADHD, their prefrontal cortex development is a couple years behind, so they might be coming at 18, but their mental faculties are at age 16. And the gap year is designed
or younger than that, Jeff. The, you know, yeah. 16 is being generous.
Well, you're right. I don't want to scare some of the folks out there, but you're right. And the gap year is really kind of designed to kind of occupy them with some type of a thing for them to catch up and or recover. And it was fascinating because talking to Marie, I had vaguely heard of it, but I got a really good education. I'm becoming more of a fan of it. In fact, I've actually been out there looking for somebody to come on a show and talk about, you know, people who graduate from college not ready with ADHD, not ready to go into the working environment. I mean, I think that happens. We all expect that to happen because, hey, you've gone through this. But I'm not so sure people are cognitively ready with ADHD if they're a couple years developmentally behind. That's a hypothesis. But anyway, I really like what you guys are doing, adapting and coming with a gap year, because it provides something. You know, idle hands are a devil's playground, but you're out there getting it, and they're actually learning life skills while they're doing this. And John, I'm so thankful you came on the show, because I just so much can be learned by getting out into the outdoors and doing it that can be transferred into life. And just one last question, because I understand in reading something from you that there's some research out there that talks about the outdoors and being out there and its impact on ADHD symptoms. You want to comment on that for a second?
Well, you know, there is research out there that indicates that this type of interactions and play can support the development with kids with ADHD. You know, one of the other pieces of research that I'm quite fond of is the work that was done out of the Frostic Institute on life success attributes. And, you know, that's a whole other show. But it's an opportunity to look at the areas that our kids need help to be successful. And then, you know, we tailor our program around developing those areas. They include emotional coping, problem solving, you know, developing support systems, you know, being creative, being self-aware of your strengths, and then being able to persevere. And those skills are so critical to our success after we leave high school and start the world, that it's just such a unique opportunity to try and teach and coach those skills. You know, if I could make just a quick plug, I'm doing a I'm doing every Saturday on our Facebook site, and that's if you want to find us, just type in SOAR, ADHD, and LD Summer Camps, and I do a Saturday strategy vlog. This is typically a minute and a half, 2 minutes, with strategies that we've garnered over the years that are helpful parenting tips, and you know, would love your listeners and readers to check that out.
That'd be awesome. John, we need to wrap things up. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that's worth just touching base on before we sign off?
Yeah, you know, I'll end with just a quick story. I had a young man named Jimmy, and Jimmy was up on the top of our high ropes course site about to come down the zip line, and he's up there, and I called up to him, and I said, "Hey, Jimmy, you're a wild man." And he looked down at me, and he says, "No, I'm not." I said, "Yes, you are, buddy. You're a wild man." And he said, "No, Big John, I'm not." The kids call me Big John. I said, "Well, Jimmy, if you're not a wild man, what are you?" And he leaned way out, you know, he connected, clipped to the trees, and he patted his heart, and he said, "I'm passionate." And my goal is to unlock that passion in every kid that we serve.
Wow. Wow. That's a great, wow.
I've had an absolute blast being on your show. I'd come back and do it anytime.
You know, John, I have to ask you this. It must be a calling for you to come do this, because the stories like that probably abound. We don't have time to kind of go through them, but I got to believe that this is a very rewarding experience for you as well as the kids.
I have to tell you, I am so lucky to get a chance to, you know, to live the life I'm living. I am an adult with ADHD, and so, you know, it's like my life is surrounded about it. I'm the executive director of a company that serves kids with ADHD. I have ADHD. My children have ADHD. I'm on the board of CHAD, you know, serving kids with ADHD. I live it, I eat it, I breathe it, and I just never get tired of it. I'm so passionate about serving these kids and finding a way to promote the life skill abilities for them, and I just you know, it's just a remarkable thing. I you know, the adventures that we have, the opportunities to play with kids, the opportunities to teach them, to encourage their skills and strengths. And if there was, you know, one last note that I would leave you with, it's this: you know, success is in our name. It's success oriented, achievement realized, and there's so much more to these children than their deficit. There are just tremendously wonderful things in all kids, and our job is to help unlock the opportunities that help them see themselves through the set of lenses that allow them to realize their gifts, their strengths, and their abilities. And one of the best ways that we can do that is giving them opportunities to succeed. And that's why programs like SOAR exist.
Well, I know from a coaching side, I do what I do not to make a lot of money, because Lord knows I did much more money in other careers. But when you're impacting somebody's life and they walk in and their self-esteem is shot, and then they turn around and not only they say they can do it, I can thrive. I know from my experience coaching, there's absolutely nothing better in this world. And the stories that you're telling and stuff like that, particularly with the youth, because I work a lot with adults, which is a big deal, but to really take a look at a 16-year-old's eyes and change that, it's just absolutely amazing. So I guess it's time for me to stand on behalf of the ADHD community. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for the passion of what you do, because I know you're impacting lives. I've actually seen stories about you going to weddings and all kinds of stuff, and people running across the room because you had such an effective change. So with that, John, thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for coming on the show.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I appreciate it. I'll see you at CHAD at the National Conference, and keep doing the work you're doing.
I'm looking forward to everybody. To learn more, go to SOAR, N as in North and C as in Carolina.org. And with that, thanks again, John. And everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.